You're about to hear a preview of Partially Examined Life supporter exclusive content. To learn how to get the whole thing, check out partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. You're listening to Partially Examined Life, episode 381, part 3. We're down at Dylan, but we wanted to get the rest of this stuff that we read for our last discussion out. We had the first 10 pages of the moral action section of Thomas Aquinas's Selected Philosophical Readings.
Moral action was, I think, the most interesting of all the things we read, for sure.
All right, so this came down to 6 questions, and we've sort of outlined already in the previous discussion the general theodicy sort of approach here. How is badness even really possible, given that creation is good, given that God is good and God would only make good stuff? And so there has to be some sort of, and I think this comes from Augustine originally, right? Something that is just, it's not fully realized in the Aristotelian sense. So yeah, something as mere potential, well, it's good insofar as even a potential is in existence, but insofar as it's not actualized, let's call that bad.
So the question of Article 1 is, are all actions good or are some bad?
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, you're giving us the background, what lies kind of in the background of all of this, which is St. Augustine's idea that evil is a privation and that existence per se is good. And so then the question is, in that context, how do we explain not just how some things are evil or bad, but in particular, how human actions can be bad?
Mm-hmm. This is what Mark just said, but I'll just quote from the text. It's page 343. We should judge actions good and bad in the same way we do things, since what things do reflects what they are. Now, a thing's goodness is measured by how fully it exists, for as we said in Book 1, good and existent are interchangeable terms. That's pretty heavy laden. But he goes on to say, a full human being, for example, demands a complex of soul and body endowed with every ability and organ needed for knowledge and movement. And if an individual lacks any of this, he would not exist fully. As existing, he would be good, but not as fully existing, he would lack goodness and be called bad. So, well, it doesn't just seem like it. I think he is saying this, that bad is not a thing in the same way good is. Bad is the absence of good in some respect.
Yep.
Yep. He's just picking up on St. Augustine there.
Which I think follows from a general, I don't want to say prejudice, but a foundational metaphysical thing that nothingness is not really something in the ontology, right? In the Plato Sophist, nothingness is just different from what you're expecting, different from something else. This banana is not an apple, but, you know, so that's where we get not, but it's not like, you know, it is fruit, but then the nothingness enters into it and makes it a not great fruit or something.
Yeah, so paradigmatically, right, becoming involves being and nothing, and the kinds of becoming that are most important are biological becoming, where you have growth or you have decay. And one of the principal questions is how you explain something like mortality and decay. And then, you know, that's where you say, well, there's this privation element that enters into becoming that causes these problems. It's not because of something that is being positively issued from God, right? Like as if he's putting a decay into the world. It's almost this question of like how we age, right? Where is there a genetic program to age us, which there seems to be, or is it just entropy? But in any case, I think what he ends up saying on page 344 is that actions are good insofar as they exist, but that is just to say exist in the sense of being actualized as fully human. So to the extent that they're not fully human, they're bad. And they fail to be human to the extent that they're not in accord with the reason. If we don't do as we should, actions are not reasonable. If they're not reasonable, they're not fully human. And you can see in this, there's this implicit teleology. So he'll say at one point on 343, basically that things exist in part, things can exist in part to some degree, but not as they fully should. So not as fully as they should. So the fully as they should clause is about teleology. For every existing thing, there's some implied perfect form or healthy form state, a good state. That sets the standard. So a given rabbit, to talk more, Mark and I did another recording today. The example is always rabbits, right? Might be sick. It might fall short of its form. It's not fully what it is. It's not fully what it should be. Then you can talk about badness according to that standard. So things can fail to live up to their kind, in other words.
Like the story, The Ugly Duckling, which should be called The Duckling That Made a Category Mistake. Because he was not a duckling at all.
Well, that's how I read it to Sky.
The duckling that was subject to a category mistake. I'm sorry, because it was the whole social environment that was mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer error rather than mistake, but yeah.
But did the duckling think it was a swan who thought it was a duckling?
Yes.
Or did everyone else think it was a duckling?
Everyone, including itself, thought it was a duckling.
Oh, man.
When in fact it was the whole university, and they were like showing it the buildings and saying, all right, let's get back to this.
So do we want to drill into the blind guy and the adultery examples, or have we said what we need to say?
I think we talked about the adultery a lot last time, but yeah, tell us the blind one.
Is that in this section?
Yeah, in the hence, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, right,
hence.
Okay, yeah.
2 and 3 in the hence, 344. He just says some strange things. So first off, bad acts by power of an incomplete good, which we just said, right? Where there is no good, there's no existent and nothing able to act. And where the good is complete, there will be no bad. So essentially, bad is a short form term for an incompleteness of a good or a failure of a good to actualize completely. And he says, there's no reason why a thing shouldn't have enough actuality to act, but not produce a complete action. And he says, as blind men have the capacity to walk, but in the absence of sight to direct their step, walk badly, stumbling. That's a little confusing to me. In fact, I kind of glossed it. But since we're here and we're doing this episode,
it's about degrees of actuality. So it's not all or nothing. You can act, you can have enough actuality to act without having enough actuality to do it completely, to have a complete action. Blind people can walk because it's not like they lack legs. Their eyes aren't working, but their legs are working, but they just can't do it as well.
Right. Okay.
It's a spectrum argument. This lies on a spectrum.
Well, if you just tie that back into the previous comment about like having all the powers to fully actualize and fully be a human being and all that, do we all come up short somehow? Is that why we're all sinners,
Seth?
Yes. Okay.
Well, I think this was a sticking point last time because it seemed like Dylan maybe last time raised the idea of one drop of error and the whole thing is bad, which does sound like if you have a machine, you know, for want of a nail, the house did fall. So if every part is essential, then even one of them being bad, the whole thing is bad. But it seems in most cases, like, well, it's just there is a spectrum, as you say, and maybe a multi-directional spectrum. So that why do you want the blind man to walk, right? If the walking is a matter of getting exercise, you know, how do you define walking? Is it walking for a purpose in a particular direction? I would think blind people would be pretty good at walking. They don't always stumble. They know where the ground is. They can feel it with their feet.
Yes.
Seriously, that's the objection to the argument.
Well, yes.
Just insert any example you like. It's not about blind people. You're right. He's wrong. Blind people in reality don't have a problem walking. They're very attuned to their environment and such that they can get around without help. But yeah, go ahead. So
if we try not to treat him as being too un-PC or, you know, whatever, like hashtag him or whatever it is that is being done these days, I think his point is in order to accomplish tasks, in order to act as a human being, and specifically, of course, we're going to be talking, he's kind of talking about acting in general, but this section is called moral action, right? So theoretically, we're talking about making moral choices. You know, you have to marshal your ability to move, your ability to think, your ability to take in information from the circumstances, your memory, right? We could just as easily say somebody who had aphasia. No, I'm sorry. Is that the right term?
Aphasia means you can't remember the word, which is exactly what was happening to you.
If you had somebody who had amnesia, right, they would be impaired in their ability to act.
Aphasia means you can't speak the word. Amnesia means you. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but you get my point, right? Like that.
We're just nitpicking.
What's kind of implied here, and maybe it's actually not implied, maybe it's explicit, but it's a kind of a natural normative element. There is a prototypical full human being. A typical full normal human being will have X, Y, and Z. They'll have legs, they'll have this, they'll have the power to act, they'll have reason, yada, yada. And basically, the way you can fall short is either you lack some of the things that a normal developed human being has, or you don't employ them the way you should.
In the case of morality in particular, the part we're thinking about is rationality. So let's see, where does he say that? We have to do what we reasonably should. So that's at the very end. In a similar way, then actions must be called good insofar as they exist, but insofar as they exist less fully than human actions should, they will lack goodness and be called bad. If, for example, we don't do as much as we reasonably should, or do something out of place or the like. Maybe I'm reading too much into reason here, inferring that the teleology he has in mind is human beings as rational animals, and rational meaning not just capable of prudential reasoning, but having a faculty which is attuned to the good. So to the extent we fall short of that, we don't exist as much as humans. We're not as human, and that we don't exist as much, and that's where badness comes in.
If that sounds like the kind of thing that you want to hear more about, then please go to partiallyexaminedlife.com/support. Thanks for listening.